This is Mastering Deep Work, written by Lucas Alberg, read for you by Brian Mendoza. Introduction. I want to start with a small confession. The first time someone paid me to help them concentrate, I was 31 years old and I had no idea what I was doing. His name was Pieter. He was a senior engineer at a robotics startup in Gothenburg, and his manager had told him, gently and without irony, that his cognitive output had cratered over the previous 18 months. Pieter was not lazy. He was not burned out, at least not in the way the word usually means. He was online from 7 in the morning until 10 at night, 6 days a week. He answered every message within 4 minutes. He attended every meeting. He had, by any visible measure, the work ethic of a Calvinist farmer in 1840. And yet his code reviews were thin, his architectural proposals had grown vague, and the ambitious project he had been hired to lead, a perception system for warehouse robots, was a year behind schedule. He hired me because his wife told him to. She told him to because he had been crying in the car on his way home, and he didn't know why. I told him, in our first session, that I thought I could probably help, although I wasn't sure I'd earn my fee. I was being honest. I had spent 8 years as a software engineer at a research lab in Lund, working on natural language systems, and I had quit because I could no longer concentrate the way I used to. I had read everything I could find on the subject. I had run small experiments on myself. I had a theory of what had gone wrong. For me, for Pieter, for the dozen friends I knew who privately felt the same, but I had never tested it on a paying client. That was 11 years ago. Since then, I've coached somewhere north of 400 knowledge workers, mostly engineers and researchers and writers, occasionally academics and lawyers and a couple of architects. The composition of the problem has barely changed in those 11 years. The intensity has gotten worse. Here is what I now believe and what this book is about. The defining cognitive injury of our time is not that we work too much. It is not that we don't sleep enough, though many of us don't. It is not that our jobs are boring or meaningless, though some are. The injury is that the structure of modern knowledge work, combined with the design of modern software, has made sustained concentration almost physically impossible for most people who try it without help. We spend our days doing a kind of work that doesn't fit our brains, on machines built to interrupt us, inside institutions that reward visibility over thought. And then we wonder why we feel stupid. I'm going to ask you to set aside a few things while you read this book. The first is the idea that this is your fault. It isn't mostly. Some of the responsibility is yours. And we'll get to that. But a person who can't focus in 2024 is in roughly the position of a person who couldn't sleep in a room with a strobe light in 1924. The room is the problem. We're going to fix the room. The second thing I'd like you to set aside is the productivity literature you've already read. I don't mean you should disagree with it. Some of it is excellent. Cal Newport's work in particular has shaped how I think, and I owe him a debt I'll acknowledge throughout. But you have probably already tried the obvious moves: turning off notifications, blocking calendar time, downloading a focus app with a tree that dies if you check Twitter. If those worked for you, you wouldn't have bought a book. The moves are correct in spirit. They fail because they treat concentration as a willpower problem rather than what it actually is, which is a slow craft you rebuild over months, the way you'd rebuild the strength of a leg you hadn't used in a year. And the third thing I'd like you to set aside is the language of optimization. I'm not interested in helping you produce more units of intellectual output per hour. I'm interested in helping you become the kind of person who can think a real thought for 90 minutes without flinching towards your phone. The output will come, but it isn't the point. The point is that thinking, when you can do it, is one of the few experiences in adult life that feels like being awake. Most of us, when we describe our best work days, describe a day on which we did exactly one thing, slowly, deeply, and without an audience. We don't get many of those days anymore. I'd like to help you get them back. A note on what's in here and what isn't. This is not a book about meditation, although meditation comes up. It is not a book about the neuroscience of attention, although I'll lean on what we know. It is not a book about quitting your job,